they had not been circumcised or they were not obeying the law that Moses had given. And so that allegation was made that they had to add something to their salvation in order for them to be accepted as Gentile believers. And so because of this disagreement that was taking place, it led to a meeting in the city of Jerusalem. So they left Antioch. The Bible tells they traveled up to the city of Jerusalem and they were going to stand before a council in Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us they were going to discuss the problem and they were going to attempt to come to a conclusion. Well, an agreement was made that the Gentiles had been accepted by God, and they had not been accepted by God with faith plus works, but they had been accepted by God by faith alone. They didn't need to add anything to their faith. They didn't need to add circumcision. They didn't need to add obedience to the law of Moses, but it was by faith and faith alone, which, by the way, is the same way that every one of us put our trust in the Lord. So when we met together last Sunday night, we took the second portion of Acts chapter number 15, and we talked about how the pastor of the church, James, got up and he began to speak. There was an agreement that had been made, and so the final verdict was going to be made through the pastor of the church there in the city of Jerusalem. And we talked about two roles of leadership that are so important in the local church today. We talked about it last Sunday night. Number one, we talked about the leadership of the pastor. And so James, as the pastor of the church, heard the testimonies that were given. They reviewed all of the testimonies that had been given about the Gentiles becoming believers. And the Bible tells us that he revealed his verdict. And do you remember last Sunday night what his verdict was? Well, he said that the Jews were not to make it difficult for the Gentiles to turn to God. They're not to add something to faith. If Gentiles come to the Lord by faith, that's all that is required by God to come to Him. So don't make it difficult for Gentiles to turn to the Lord. And then the second verdict that was decided upon was that the Gentiles should not put a stumbling block before the Jews by refusing to obey the laws of Moses that they were able to obey. So, for instance, he talked to them about how that they were to stay away from idols. So you need to stay away from idols so that you do not become a stumbling block. You need to stay away from immorality. He talked about immorality and fornication. You need to stay away from that so that your life does not become a stumbling block. And then remember, under the direction and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that was leadership number two. Last Sunday night, we talked about the leadership of the pastor in a local church, but we talked about the leadership of the Holy Spirit as well. And we've already talked about the Holy Spirit today, haven't we? We talked about how He was the one who gives us love. He's the great giver of love, we said this morning. But we talked about under the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. We talked about how that letters were written, and those letters were to be taken from Jerusalem to Antioch, and in those letters, the Gentiles were to follow the guidance that was given in those letters. No greater burden was to be put on the Gentiles than what was written in those letters. And so when we got to the end of our passage of Scripture last Sunday night, which brought us all the way to verse number 35 in chapter number 15, last week's message, we covered quite a few verses. And we got all the way down to verse number 35. And the conclusion last Sunday night was this. When a problem came up in the local church, they dealt with it quickly and they dealt with it spiritually, and then they moved on. Now that's the encouragement for our local church here, isn't it? Let's deal with issues that come up. There may be some issues from time to time, right? There may be some things that need to be talked about, things that need to be settled so that we can be in unity one with another, right? And so what do? We deal with them quickly and we deal with them spiritually. We don't try to get in the flesh and deal with things that way. but we deal with them quickly and we deal with them spiritually. And so the Bible tells us that is exactly the way they dealt with that time of disagreement. By the way, in the passage of Scripture tonight, we're going to come to a moment of disagreement as well. And we're going to see how they handled that at the end of chapter number 15. And I hope all of these will be places of application for us. So, now we get to tonight's text, starting in verse number 36. And I want to give you a couple truths as we finish off this chapter tonight that I hope will be an encouragement and a help to you as we are not only trying to apply things. Really, this is threefold. When we're going through the book of Acts, it's really a threefold journey here. Number one, we're trying to learn something. That's first and foremost. We learn something in the Scripture that maybe perhaps God reveals to us that we didn't know before. Number two, we make applications. And so I hope tonight we'll be able to make applications of our life. And then number three, from the book of Acts, we can see the way that God wants us to respond as a church as we follow the pattern of the early church. We got a wonderful pattern in the book of Acts, don't we? And we can follow this pattern for our local church here in Boonesboro as well. So now that the issue about the acceptance of the Gentiles had been settled, remember how it was settled quickly and spiritually, Paul was now ready to continue his ministry. Remember, we told you when there's times of argument and dissension, the work of the Lord is put on pause, isn't it? We're not getting it done the way God wants us to when there's contention, when there's dissension, when there's disagreements, when we're not in unity. And so now that they have quickly and spiritually resolved the problem, Paul said, let's get back to work. Let's continue the work of the ministry. Let's get back to what we were doing. Remember, their mission trip had just come to an end. The first mission trip had just come to an end. And Paul says, man, I'm excited about getting on. Let's get back to work. Let's get going what God wants us to do. So I want you to notice a few things here tonight by these verses that we're going to read tonight. First of all, verse number 36. Verse number 36 in the passage of Scripture that we are looking at tonight. Number one, I want you to notice the dedication of Paul. I want us to notice the dedication of Paul. Look at Paul's dedication, if you would. Look at verse number 36. It says this, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas. Now remember, Paul and Barnabas were the ones that had gone on the first mission trip together. Let us go again, he says, and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. All right, now to me, that's Paul's way of saying, let's get back to work. Man, let's continue what we were doing in the ministry. Let's get back to work. Now, would you consider this with me before we really get into this thought about Paul and his dedication? Paul and Barnabas, if you would consider this with me tonight, we've already read it. We've already studied it as we've been studying the book of Acts on Sunday night. Paul and Barnabas, they had suffered greatly on their first missionary journey, hadn't they? We read about some of the times of suffering that they had to go through. The Bible tells us they were persecuted. As a matter of fact, remember we saw the pattern, didn't we? They would go, when they would arrive in a city, where would they go? They'd go to the synagogue. And when they would go into the synagogue, they would preach the word of God in the synagogue. After they would preach the word of God, the Holy Spirit's power would start moving and souls would start getting saved. Because of souls getting saved, it led to times of persecution. And the Bible tells us many of those cities, they were told to leave. And so they were going through great persecution. The Bible tells us there was even a time where Paul was stoned. Remember, we remember reading about that in chapter number 14 at the end of that first missionary journey. He was stoned. As a matter of fact, remember, they thought him to be dead, didn't they? We've stoned him. We thought him to be dead. But the Bible says he arose and he went on, you know, continued on for the Lord. So he's gone through stoning. He's been expelled from cities. I mean, there were cities that told him, you got to get out of here. We don't want you in our city. And it really wasn't that they didn't want him. They didn't want the message, did they? They didn't want the message spread. They didn't want the gospel spread. It wasn't that, you know, sometimes when somebody rejects our message, it's not about the fact they're rejecting us. I mean, I've had many a door that I've knocked on or many a person that I've talked to that said, I just don't want anything to do with it. Well, they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the Lord, right? It kind of reminds me of that passage of scripture really in the Old Testament of our Bible where the Bible talks about the Lord sending that message to Samuel when he was supposed to go and talk to Saul, and he was to tell Saul that he had been rejected as being king. He said to Samuel, he hasn't rejected you. He's rejected me. He's pushed me away, and so no longer is he able to be king. And that's what the Bible's telling us has happened here. They don't like the message. They don't like the message of the gospel. And so they expel them from the cities. As a matter of fact, the Bible for us last Sunday night described for us what these men had to go through during that first missionary journey. Would you real quickly with your eyes go up to verse 26 there? We read verse 36, but look at verse 26. Remember what it said. It said men. Now, who are the men he's describing here? Well, this is Paul and Barnabas. These were men, and notice how it describes these men, that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's describing the men that were on this missionary journey. They have risked their own life to serve the Lord and to spread the gospel so that these Gentiles could become believers. Matter of fact, we know the end result of Paul's life. I'd imagine most of us do, that he died the death of a martyr, didn't he? He died for the cause of Jesus. And so here's this first missionary journey where they had gone through persecution. They had been stoned. They had been expelled from the cities. So the question tonight is this. If I'm going to present to you this thought that they were dedicated, that Paul was dedicated to the Lord, then it bears, it would go along with this question, what is it that kept him going? If Paul's going to go through persecution, he's going to go through stoning, he's going to be expelled from all of these cities, why is he getting up and saying, let's go back to work, let's continue the ministry? Why is this man so dedicated? Could I present two thoughts to you tonight? Number one, he was dedicated because of the love of God for him. He was dedicated because God loved him. As a matter of fact, Paul even wrote about that. Would you go with me for just a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'd keep your place there in Acts, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at what the Bible says in verse 14, and then down in verse number 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, now this is Paul writing this book, and he says in verse number 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Now, what does that mean? When it says the love of Christ constraineth us, that means that the love that God has for us is what keeps us going. It's what pushes me. It's the illustration of somebody pushing me forward to be able to keep going. It's not about a person pushing me forward and a person making me dedicated to God. It's because I have a God who loves me. And he's shown me his love in so many different ways that this is what keeps me going. What keeps Paul going through a persecution, through a stoning, through being expelled out of cities? It's the fact that God loves him. Look at the next part of the verse. Not only does he say the love of Christ constraineth us, he said, but we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now watch this, verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So who are we to live for? We're to live for Christ, right? And the reason why we live for Christ is because he loved us. Can I present to you this evening that one of the reasons why Paul was so dedicated, what kept him going, was the love that God had for him. God's love kept Paul's calling strong in his mind. He realized that God called me, and because God called me and he loves me, I'm going to be dedicated. I'm going to keep faithful to what God has for me to do. So what it leads Paul to make the statement we read in verse 36. Look down at verse 36 again in Acts chapter 15. He says, in some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again. I've got to keep going. I've got to get back at it. I've got to continue in the ministry. And he's dedicated because of God's love for him. And he is constantly, because of God's love, he's constantly reminded of the fact that God has called him. God has given me a calling, and I've got to be faithful to that calling because of the love of Christ. But can I present to you number two tonight? The reason why I believe we could say Paul keeps going It's not just because of the love of God. It reminds us of what we talked about this morning. It's because of Paul's love for the brethren. Paul has a love for the brethren. So it's not just that I love God. It's that I love the brethren. You say, how do you know that to be true? Well, look at verse 36. He says, and someday after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. Let's visit our brethren. That was Paul's way of saying, I have a love for the brethren. I want to visit them. I want to care for the souls of the brethren. I want to make sure that they are taken care of spiritually. It's the analogy or the illustration that we could use tonight of a shepherd that's trying to watch over the sheep. The Bible says now that Jesus is the chief shepherd, right? And then he uses pastors as under shepherds. It's the illustration there of the under shepherd caring for the sheep. And Paul says, I've established these works, these churches, and I want to go back and I want to check on these brethren and make sure that they are cared for just like a shepherd would care for the sheep. Now I'm going to take you to a verse in 2 Corinthians just for a moment. And I'll read it if you'd listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 28. Paul is giving a list of challenges that he has faced along his journey spiritually and as a Christian on this earth. You know the challenges Paul faced. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, he gives a list of things that he had to go through. He was beaten, right? He was stoned. He had to go through shipwreck. He was in prison. But Paul says for us in verse 28 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, he says, besides all those things that are without. All right, besides being put in prison, besides going through shipwreck, beside the fact that I was beaten, beside the fact that I was stoned, he said, above and beyond even that, he said, in verse 28, that which cometh upon me daily, and then notice how he words it, the care of all the churches. See, Paul was concerned for the brethren. He wanted to make sure they were taken care of, just like a shepherd would care for the sheep. So what was the burden that Paul had? Well, Paul wanted to see them growing. He wanted to see them growing in the Lord. He wanted to see them discipled. He wanted to make sure that they didn't just get saved and baptized and then have no help to see themselves growing in the Lord or discipled in the things of the Lord. He cared for them that much. He wanted to go back, and the Bible says this at the end of verse number 36. Would you look at verse 36 at the very end of the verse 36? It says, and see how they do. What is Paul saying there? Paul's saying, I have such a love for the brethren, and I desire to care for them, and I have a burden to see them grow, that I want to see how they are doing. I want to check on them. I'm concerned about them. I want to see them growing in the Lord. Now, do you remember a time where Paul has already done this? Remember in chapter 14, Paul is in the midst of his first missionary journey. And remember, the Bible tells us he travels into those various cities. He goes to Lystra, and he goes to Iconium, and he goes to Derbe, and he's visiting all of these cities during his first missionary journey. And the Bible tells us then he is going to circle back, and he's going to come back to Antioch, which, remember, was the church who sent him and Barnabas out to go on this first missionary journey. But when he circled back around and he was heading to Antioch, do you remember what it said? It said that he wanted to check on all the churches on his way back. Go to it with me if you would. If you just look over to chapter 14, look at verse 21 for a moment. It says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, their meeting there in Derbe, it said, had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Now that's Antioch in Pisidia. We've been talking about the different Antiochs. The one Antioch that as a church had sent him out, and then the Antioch in Pisidia that he had visited and established and was able to see a great number of souls saved there in Antioch and Pisidia. Well, what does he do when he circles back around and he visits these cities? Look at what the Bible says he does. Look at verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to what? Continue in the faith. See, Paul has such a love for them. Just like a shepherd would for the sheep. He has such a burden for them that the Bible tells even at the end of his first missionary journey, he circles back around and says, I got to visit all these people again so that I can encourage them that they would continue in the faith and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. It says as it finishes off verse 22. So Paul has already done this. And now he wants to do it again because of the love he had for the brethren and because of the burden he had for them to help to see them grow. Now, there's a reason, I believe, behind why Paul does all of this. As these young Christians are growing in their faith, he doesn't want them to be deceived. There are many false teachers that try to teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. And Paul says, I don't want that to happen. I don't want them to be deceived by false teachers. You say, well, how would you know that in that time there were false teachers that were teaching things that were false? Didn't we already read about it at the start of chapter 15 where they were saying that the Gentiles had not truly been saved because they needed to add circumcision to it? They needed to add the obedience to the law of Moses to it? Is that a false teaching? Sure it is. That's adding works to faith, isn't it? According to the Bible, we don't believe that's true. So there were false teachers that we are already dealing with. And Paul says, I don't want this to happen to the young Christians. I don't want them to be deceived. I don't want them to fail to grow. I want them to be growing in the Lord. So he always constantly wanted to encourage them. He constantly wanted to strengthen them. Why do you think we have his letters in the Bible? We have the epistles, don't we? And what happens with the epistles in the Bible? It's Paul's way of writing a letter to those churches to say, hey, I might not be with you right now, just like we would write a letter, right? Do we write letters anymore with emails and all that that we could do? I know some probably still do that. But we're writing a letter because we're not with somebody and Paul's trying to use that letter to encourage, isn't he? So he's using the letter in Galatians to encourage the churches in the regions of Galatia, right? He's using the letter to the Ephesians to encourage those that were in Ephesus, isn't he? He's using the letter to the book of Philippians to encourage those in the city of Philippi. And on we go, the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians and the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and we've got the book of Colossians as well. He wants to constantly encourage and strengthen the believers. So number one, we see the dedication of Paul. Number two, I want you to notice tonight the disagreement of Paul and Barnabas. I want you to notice a disagreement that the Bible tells us they have. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 37. I apologize. Verse 37 of chapter 15, I want us to notice this disagreement of Paul and Barnabas. Look at verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them, that's with them meaning with Paul and Barnabas, John, whose surname was Mark. So a lot of times in Scripture we refer to him as John Mark. So he wanted to take John Mark along with them on their second missionary journey. Well, the Bible tells us they have a disagreement. Barnabas wants to take John Mark. Paul doesn't want to take John Mark. Notice with me, if you would, verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Now we are going to read verse number 39, or at least the first part of verse number 39, in just a moment. The Bible tells us that these men agree on something and then they disagree on something. So their agreement is that we need to revisit the churches. We need to do this. We need to try to encourage them. We need to try to strengthen them. We need to try to make sure they're not being deceived and they're not failing to grow. So Paul and Barnabas say to one another, yes, that's something we need to do. We agree with that. But the Bible tells us they could not agree on whether they should take John Mark with them. Now, why was there a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas? Well, the Bible says in verse number 38, we just read it, it says, Paul thought not good to take him with them, and there's a reason why. Look with me, if you would, at the middle part of the verse. Who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Here's what happened during the first missionary journey. John Mark had joined them for the first missionary journey, but the Bible tells us that John Mark did not finish the first trip. We read that back in chapter 13. Now, I'm going to take time to go there just for a minute. In Acts chapter 13 and verse number 13, it says, Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. So the Bible tells us up in verse number 5 that John joins Paul and Barnabas on this missionary journey. And then it tells us at the very beginning of this missionary journey, in verse number 13, that he decides to depart and he goes back to the city of Jerusalem. So now Paul, the Bible tells us, as he is going to revisit these churches with Barnabas, he felt that Mark had deserted them. Mark hadn't finished on the first missionary journey. He started, but he didn't complete. This is Paul's way of saying, this is a man who lacks character. He hasn't finished the job that he started, and Paul didn't want to take another chance on him. But the Bible tells us Barnabas does. Barnabas says, I'm willing to give this man another chance. And the Bible tells us that this disagreement gets very strong. Look with me, if you would, at verse 39. We told you we'd go there in just a moment. Look at the very start of verse number 39. The Bible tells us, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. Now, I want to share with you just a few thoughts that I hope tonight will be an encouragement as we come to this passage or this part of the story of this disagreement with Paul and Barnabas. I want us to notice some encouraging things. And then I want us to notice tonight perhaps maybe some applications that we can make in our life. Because would you not acknowledge with me, before we start to look in a negative way at Paul and Barnabas, would you not be willing to acknowledge with me that even the best of Christians can have times where they disagree? They just disagree. It's one way that somebody might assume that would be best, and another way that somebody else may assume would be best. Let me present to you one way in which I believe the Lord worked this out in an incredible way. Because of this disagreement, the Bible tells us that God is able to form two mission teams, isn't he? So because they've had this disagreement, here now instead of one mission team, we got two mission teams going out, because the Bible tells Barnabas, and we'll read it here in just a minute, Barnabas and John Mark do leave, and they go and they begin to journey and share the gospel. And then we've got Paul, and the Bible tells us he chooses Silas to go with him. So two missionary teams are formed. That reminds me of a verse we read in the book of Romans. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for what? For good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we might at times in our life look at something like this and we would say, how can God take a disagreement and turn something like that out for good? Well, God used this disagreement, this contention, as the Bible describes it in verse 39, to form two mission teams. But there's a couple applications that I want us to try to gain from this quickly. I want us to remember that even though we read about heroes of the faith in the Bible, would you consider Paul a hero of the faith? I think we would. I think we would consider Barnabas a hero of the faith. I mean, I think about these men who, again, risked their lives to give out the message of the gospel. But it is a reminder that even the great heroes of the faith that we read about in the scripture were just men like we are. The Bible never claims that these heroes of the faith are perfect. What it does tell us is that there are some times in which there can be moments of disagreement. And again, we go back to the thought that even the strongest Christian, or maybe the one that we would define as a hero of the faith, they could still perhaps have times where they are in moments of disagreement. Now, can I say this by way of another application tonight that can hopefully help us tonight when we think about this subject that we are dealing with tonight? There is no indication in this passage of Scripture. There is never an indication in this passage of Scripture that these two men disliked one another. The Bible does not say they left one another and they were angry at each other. The Bible never says that. So there is no indication of the fact that they were angry when they walked away. But the Bible does, we'll read later in Scripture, and as a matter of fact, we're even going to look at a passage right before we leave tonight. The Bible does tell us that they disagree with one another, they go their separate ways, and I believe because there is no indication of any hard feelings, there's no indication of any hatred one towards another, anger one towards another, that they disagree and they're able to do it in love. Do you believe it's possible to do that? I can disagree, but yet I can disagree in love. I can still have a good friendship, perhaps, with somebody I've disagreed with. I can still continue serving the Lord in spite of the fact that I've had a disagreement. And so the Bible tells us that they disagree and they still have a love one for another. There's no mention of any anger. There's no mention of any dislike. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 15, Paul wrote that book, didn't he? And Paul said these words in Ephesians 4 verse 15. He says, we are to speak the truth in love. You know, there are times in our Christian lives where we may even have moments of disagreement. And by the way, real quick, a side thought here. Isn't it wonderful that God does record these things in Scripture for us so that, again, we know that there was not perfection in the lives of these men, but yet there were still some times where situations had to be handled, and we can do it the way the Bible teaches us, right? And so in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15, Paul says that we are to speak the truth in love. Do you think it's possible that these men disagreed in love? They were able to go through a disagreement and it wasn't a sinful way of handling a disagreement. Because there could be a sinful way of handling a disagreement because we can get to a place where we're disagreeing and we get in the flesh, right? And we're disagreeing and we're going to make sure that our point is heard and we're going to walk away from that meeting or that disagreement with hatred in our heart and anger and bitterness in our heart instead of love. One for another. And so it is possible to disagree and yet it not be sinful. We can have an honest difference of opinion between two Christians and it is possible still to respect the other person, right? It is possible still to have an admiration for one another and even the ministry that somebody else is involved in. And I think that is what we see in this passage of Scripture. The way to handle a disagreement that we may have from time to time. Here's the only way. Now, I wanted to say this at the very end. Here is the only way that a disagreement cannot be handled that way. It's when it is contradicting the Bible. See, if someone disagrees with what the Bible says, then we've got a problem, don't we? Because we cannot honestly say, I can disagree and have your opinion be okay about that. If it's a Bible situation, we stand by the Bible, don't we? And we would stand firm on the Word of God. I don't see this situation here as being a biblical disagreement, though. I see it being a disagreement as to whether John Mark is going to travel with us as we revisit these churches. So may we be mindful of maybe some applications that we can make in our lives as Christians when we come to those places that are challenging in our life where we may have honest differences of opinion with one another, that we can disagree but do it in love, not in a sinful way, and yet still have respect for that person and still have respect perhaps for their ministry and still continue to go on for God, right? Not to allow our hearts to become bitter. We're going to talk about that right now in our last point tonight. The last thought is this evening. We saw the dedication of Paul. We saw the disagreement of Paul and Barnabas. But lastly tonight, I want you to notice the decision of Paul and Barnabas. There's another word that we could use tonight if we would like to. We could say the determination of Paul and Barnabas. They make a decision. And that decision that they make shows or proves to us their determination. Let's notice their decision as we finish this passage of Scripture. Look at the end of verse number 39. It says, "And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus." All right? So Barnabas and Mark, the Bible tells us, start out together, and the Bible tells us they go back to Cyprus. Now, do you remember anything about Cyprus? Cyprus was the place where the first missionary journey was started. Back in chapter number 13, we see the very starting point of that first missionary journey was in this place called Cyprus. So the Bible tells us Barnabas and Mark, as a mission team, go back to Cyprus. Then the Bible tells us what Paul does. Look at verse 40. We're almost done now tonight. "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." So let's give you a couple thoughts here. The second missionary team is Paul and Silas. Now this is the man, we know who Paul is. The man Silas is the man that we already read about in chapter number 14. Do you remember him? He was the man that the Bible tells us, I'm sorry, in chapter 15, when we were talking about the visit in Jerusalem. He was the man who the Bible tells us was going to go along with Paul and Barnabas to carry the letters that were to be delivered to Antioch that were to tell the Jews that these Gentile believers had been accepted. And the Gentile believers were to read these letters and to know what God's response, the Holy Spirit's response was to that meeting they had in the city of Jerusalem. So Silas was one of the men who was carrying those letters from that Jerusalem council that we read about here already in chapter number 15. The Bible tells us that Paul and Silas are going to revisit these churches. So Paul is established in that first missionary journey with Barnabas. He's established these churches. Well, he and Silas are going to go and they're going to revisit these churches. And did you notice at the end of verse number 40? It says, "being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." What does that mean? Well, that means that they are going out as a mission team and they have the blessing of the church. Isn't that wonderful? By the way, I believe that also speaks to the fact that that disagreement must not have been a sinful one. Because if it would have been a sinful one, Paul and Barnabas would not have had the blessing of the church. If you're doing something that's sinful, you have anger in your heart, there's disagreement that's caused sin or hatred or anger or bitterness, they wouldn't have had the blessing of the church. But because they dealt with it the right way, the Bible tells us they have the blessing of the church as they go out. Well, the Bible tells us that these men are both, they have remained true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even after this disagreement, the Bible tells us we've got to go on and serve the Lord. Get back into the work of the Lord. Here's the idea tonight, by way of application. Disagreement did not cause either of these men to stop serving God. And if you say, well, why do you stress that so much tonight? Because do we not all know people that have had some type of a disagreement, maybe perhaps with another Christian or inside the walls of a local church, and they have used it as an excuse to quit on God? They've said, well, you don't understand what I had to go through. You don't understand the disagreement that I had or something that has made me angry or has made me bitter with another Christian or inside the walls of a local church, and I've just decided to quit on God. That's nothing more than just an excuse. Paul and Silas and Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, the Bible tells us, remained faithful to God. Here's the idea tonight. Our loyalty is not to another person. Our loyalty always has to be to Christ. And so it wasn't Paul saying, well, because Barnabas disagreed with me, I can't go on anymore. Or Barnabas saying, well, because Paul disagreed with me, I can't go on anymore. No, it's loyalty to Christ that we are concerned about. It's not whether we have a disagreement with somebody else or somebody else made us angry or bitter or confused. It's that we're loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ and we go on for Him. So in our lives, by way of application tonight, do not allow a disagreement or maybe something that comes up within the local church or maybe something between you and another Christian to keep you from what God has called you to do. If God has called you to do something, remain loyal and faithful to that call. Now I'm going to finish with a thought tonight from another verse and we'll be finished. Thank you so much for your patience. Would you look quickly at 2 Timothy chapter 4, because we do not want to finish this passage of Scripture without looking at this verse. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and look with me if you would at verse number 11. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11. Now what have we learned so far about Paul and Barnabas? There's a disagreement that causes Barnabas to take John Mark and Paul to say, I'd rather not. I'm going to take Silas with me to form a second mission team. Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11 that Paul and John Mark's relationship is restored. Here's the good news. The Bible tells that Paul had in his heart felt that it wouldn't be okay to take John Mark. But the Bible tells us when Paul gets towards the end of his life, because if you know anything about 2 Timothy chapter number 4, this is the end of Paul's life. Paul's about to become a martyr for his faith. As a matter of fact, this is the passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4 where we hear, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. And he says, henceforth there's laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. We know he's about ready to face martyrdom. And what does the Bible say he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11? Watch this now. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me, or excuse me, to me for the ministry. Now, what does the Bible say happened to John Mark? The Bible says that he proved himself to be reliable. He proved himself to be trustworthy. Aren't you glad that we serve a God? Now, just grab onto this here tonight. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who is the God of a second chance? This man who Paul said he's not reliable, I can't count on him to be faithful. The Bible says at the end of Paul's life, he said, he is profitable to me for the ministry. He's proven to be trustworthy. He's proven to be reliable. And now listen, may we as Christians, this is an application that's a strong one tonight. Would you grab a hold of this one tonight? May we as Christians not get to the place where we give up on people. We give up on people. And we get to a place where we say, well, they've just proven themselves to be unreliable. They've proven themselves not to be trustworthy. When it just may be possible that God may be continuing to work in their lives. And he's trying to mature them, to get them to a place where they need to be. May our church tonight, now let's just talk about this in a general sense tonight. As Christians, this ought to be true of us. But how about our church as a whole? May our church, this is where we make application tonight from the early church to our church tonight. May our church be a place where we show people grace. May our church be a place where we extend to people hope, because God may still be working on their lives. And they need to just see a Christian come along beside them that responds to them with grace and responds to them with hope and doesn't give up on them and know that God may still be working in their lives. And can I present a truth to you that I think you already know, but it certainly is true for us tonight? God is still working on all of us. There's not one of us that would say we have arrived, but God's working on every one of us. And may our church be a place of grace. May our church be a place of hope where somebody could come to it and somebody could say that through my struggles, I still saw grace in you. Through my weaknesses, I still saw hope through a Christian that loved me and through a church that still cared for me. Because as God is working in their lives, He may be at that place where He's molding them into a place where they are going to become very profitable. What did Paul say? He is profitable unto me for the ministry. God's working and molding their lives so that they can become profitable. They can become usable. They can become servants in the work of the Lord. Aren't you glad that God never throws us overboard? Aren't you glad that God never cuts us off? And may it be that we as Christians, may it be that we at Victory Baptist Church here would always be a place where we offer grace and we offer hope to somebody who, as they face their times of struggle and they face their times of weakness, they can come to somebody who offers them grace and hope as God is molding their lives so that they can be profitable for the work of the Lord. Father, thank you so much for the challenge from Scripture this evening.